Psalm 22, verses 14 to 15. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart has become like wax, melting in the depths of my body. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my gums. You have laid me in the dust of death. Jesus is at the end of himself. He has already said, and we have heard it in the gospel reading this night, my heart is troubled. The word in Greek is shipwrecked. So our Lord was declaring, my soul is on the rocks. My heart is shipwrecked. As I was saying on Sunday, here is no Superman. He gets tired, thirsty, hungry, he sweats and he weeps. And this portrayal of Jesus proves to me the historicity of the Gospels, because there's no attempt to hide his vulnerability. Here is a true human being, one of us from the womb to the tomb. In 2008, Liverpool became the European capital of culture, and we all dreamt up wonderful schemes in which we could celebrate this honour. My particular contribution was to invite Sir Paul McCartney, a Scouser, back to Liverpool, to Liverpool's Anglican Cathedral, the largest Anglican cathedral in the world, no competition, you understand, and to ask him if he would perform his oratorio Ecce Cor Meum, which he wrote after the death of his first wife. He accepted, the tickets sold quickly, and the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra, the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Choir, under the baton of Vasily Petrenkov, performed Ecce Cor Meum, and it was wonderful. At the end of the concert, Sir Paul McCartney came onto the podium and said that this night was his revenge, and everybody looked quizzically, what could he mean? Whereupon he then told us that when he was a boy, he had got the number 8 bus from where he lived to the Anglican Cathedral to audition for the cathedral choir. And they turned him down. Another glorious mistake in the history of the Church of England. One of the lesser known songs of the Beatles is this. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I'm sick and tired of uptight, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. Songwriters, poets, philosophers down the ages have cried out that same question. What is the truth? Where is the truth? Just give me some truth. And it's as if God answers that plea by saying, not here's a set of propositions, but here is a true person. And one of the great ironies in the Gospel of John is that Pilate asks Jesus, what is the truth? And the answer is standing there, staring him in the face. The truth? A true person. Jesus Christ, one of us, from the womb to the tomb. There's a glorious painting by Van der Weyder of the descent from the cross, where Mary, the mother of Jesus, is carrying the body of her son. And if you look closely at the painting, you'll see that the contour of Mary's body, his mourning mother, mirrors exactly the shape of Jesus' own twisted body, there as any mother identifying totally with her child and his pain. But there's another way of looking at the painting too, to understand that in fact it's the bent body of Christ that is aching symmetrically with the bitter bereavement of his mother. Jesus, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, identifying with us totally. Have you ever felt that your soul was on the rocks? So has he. There is no testing nor temptation that you and I endure that he has not himself been through. That's why we can come to him so easily, for he is one of us. There's a story of an earthquake where, tragically, a school is destroyed and a child is rescued from the rubble, taken to the hospital, where the doctors and nurses on emergency have been summoned. And while the mother waits outside, a surgeon spends hours and hours painstakingly working on this child to save his life. But to no avail, and the child dies. Instead of asking one of the nurses to go and tell the mother the fate of her child, the surgeon takes it upon himself to go and see and tell. And as he does, the mother breaks down and then rushes at him and pummels his chest with her fists in her grief. But instead of pushing her away, he holds her tightly to himself until sobbing subsides and she rests cradle-like in his arms, whereupon tears flow from his eyes and he too begins to sob because he came to the hospital the moment he had heard that his own child had been killed in that self-same earthquake. One of us from the womb to the tomb. Nicholas Wolterstorff, in his book Lament for a Son, talks about his own grief when his son in his 20s is killed in a climbing accident. And he reflects upon the verse in the Bible that says that nobody can look upon the face of God and live beyond that point. And up until that moment, he had always thought that that meant nobody could see the glory of God and live. And then he thought and realized, no, maybe it means that nobody but nobody could see the tear-stained face of God and live beyond that point. Jesus on the cross, spent. God himself spent in suffering out of love for us, the human family. And that spentness, that soul on the rocks, is expressed most powerfully in two words: I thirst. A poem by George Herbert. With sick and famished eyes, with doubling knees and weary bones, to thee my cries, to thee my groans, to thee my sighs, my tears ascend. No end? My throat, my soul is hoarse. My heart is withered like a ground which thou dost curse. My thoughts turn round and make me giddy. Lord, I fall, yet call. Lord Jesu, thou didst bow the dying head upon the tree. O, be not now more dead to me. Lord, hear. Shall he that made the ear not hear? Behold, thy dust doth stir. It moves, it creeps, it aims at thee. Wilt thou defer to succor me? Thy pile of dust, wherein each crumb says, come. Thou tarriest while I die and fall to nothing. Thou dost reign and rule on high while I remain in bitter grief. Yet I am styled thy child. An Easter hymn. O sacred head, sore wounded, defiled, and put to scorn. O kingly head, surrounded with mocking crown of thorn. What sorrow mars thy grandeur? Can death thy bloom deflower? O countenance whose splendor the hosts of heaven adore.